The Around the NFL Podcast would never get benched for Colt McCoy.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room just filled with heroes, teeming with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What up, boys?
Hi, Diane.
Hey, there he is. He's back.
That's your imitation of our imitation?
Yes.
Hey, Dane.
Hi, Diane.
Wes back from his marathon tape study on his off day. How'd it go, by the way, Wes?
Lots of afternoon sleeping mixed with film study, but then I couldn't sleep all night.
The Bears
night.
Still win?
The Bears won, and Jay Cutler had one drive the entire game. Mm.
What was the biggest takeaway from your film watching? If we might just take a peek behind the curtain.
My biggest takeaway was the Broncos concentrating on establishing the run with two undrafted backs, which tells us a lot about where the NFL is now with running backs, and it also tells us that they wanted to keep the opposing defenses honest because they were blitzing so much the previous couple of weeks.
That is why they call him the scientist. That's why he's also known as the mailman. He is so knowledgeable. He has two nicknames. Big show today. This is our Wednesday show, a special show pre-Thanksgiving. The schedule got bumped up a little bit because of the holiday. So for those of us in America, great country this is, happy Thanksgiving. And to all the listeners abroad, happy Thursday. Happy Thursday!
Well, you can celebrate Thanksgiving if you want in any country. You guys could just get some turkey and be thankful.
Well, the concept to some, especially in the United Kingdom, is not a totally welcome concept, I would imagine.
Well,
what? Why would they have a problem with us discovering the land?
Well, A, we didn't discover it.
That's true.
Let's get down to business. But B, like, it's like we completely disjoined from your country.
Right.
Do you think England's still bitter about every single country they used to have dominion over?
Not at all. But they're not probably saying, you know, this is the day that we really want to get down and enjoy the consequences.
But it's just an excuse to eat and drink, basically.
By the way, I know where Mark Sessler stands on the Washington football team's nickname. Just want to say that.
Ooh. I have no opinions about anything.
Use that as a quote for the show and sell it.
I think Mark, who lived for a long time in the UK, still harbors some resentment.
Well,
over
I was
the
three, so I don't know where their head was at politically.
I thought that was just an age shot at Mark. I thought you were just saying Mark has lived for a long time. So great show today. Great show. Wes, great to have you back. Wasn't the same without you.
Great to be back.
Greg, we felt the same way on Sunday without you. Mark and I, the Cal Ripkins of the room, just keep it. You know, we stay here. We keep
clock
this thing
in,
anchored.
Clock out, day after day.
So here we are. We are going to go through all the games on Sunday today, and go through all those games on Sunday. The Monday night game, the Jets back in prime time on Monday. I know America's ready for that, as I am, and some great games to get to. But there is a marquee game. The game that we're about to get into here, and this is of course the New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers. To me, this conjures up memories. While it's not totally clean, and it's a little apples and oranges, but the old Niners-Cowboys matchups in the early 90s where you look forward to it like it was a playoff game, even though it was the regular season. Here are the two best teams in football right now squaring off at Lambeau. So why don't we start right there and get right into it. We'll talk about that game. This is a game where the Packers are just killing everybody right now. What is the Patriots have won seven straight games. They're doubling everyone in scoring over that time. Average margin of victory 40-20 over the past 7 weeks. The Packers are nearly unstoppable or unstoppable at Lambeau, it feels like right now. So now here you go, unstoppable force, immovable object. Who wins, guys?
I think we all picked Green Bay outside of
Greg.
So why don't you defend
the Patriots? Yeah. Well, I don't need to defend it. Well, first of all, it's a better Patriots defense than we think. I think the winning team here is the defense that truly is better than they were early in the season. The Packers have gotten a lot better. The Patriots have, too. I mean, they have the best secondary they've had in a long time. Chandler Jones returned for a limited practice here. People kind of forgot that their best pass rusher hasn't been around for this entire great stretch. And it comes down to Belichick, whether he can cook up a scheme on defense to slow down Aaron Rodgers like he did for Luck and Peyton Manning.
See, I look just as quickly at their offense where they're almost like a college team in the way where they just go in, they take away the best part of the opposing defense and game plan week to week. We don't see the same offense from New England from week 10 to week 11, week 12. They'll change it up and put different players in there. I can't wait to see how they attack Green Bay's defense.
Aaron Rodgers is the toughest quarterback in the league to prepare for, though, because he's got the pre-snap look and the smarts of Tom Brady, but he has the athleticism of Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson. So it's like you can come up with a great plan. He's the best at the league at winning late after you've already come up with a good defense to stop him, and then he just creates craziness.
Yeah, let's see how – let's see if the Patriots can stay in here till halftime. Woo! Because no one else is. Ooh. I mean, 30-3, 38-3, 42-0, and 45-0, I believe, have been the halftime scores in Lambeau the past four games.
Right, but who are those against? I mean, Minnesota,
Tomato Kings,
Carolina, Chicago, and Philly, which was a legitimately great win. The Patriots are going through the best stretch that they've gone through in more than a decade. I think this is the best Patriots team since 2004. 2007, obviously, as well. I forgot about that for a second. But but if you think of the stretch that they're on, I mean, even in 2007, they never had a stretch where they beat four straight division leaders or co-leaders by an average of 40-18, by more than 20 points. I mean, you really can't have a more impressive month than they've had over the last month.
People are going to get very hung up, and rightfully so, on the quarterback matchup between two future Hall of Famers. Very interesting to see what goes on in the backfield here. Eddie Lacy, by the way, who started off very poorly this season, has turned into a monster in recent weeks, both as a receiver and running the football. And he's up to out of nowhere. I think he has 9 or 10 touchdowns now. This is something, a guy who did nothing for September, all of a sudden has some really nice numbers. And the other side of the ball, I find the Patriots intriguing because who's going to be the guy back there? Jonas Gray, 200 yards, 4 touchdowns. 2 weeks ago, then he gets benched after oversleeping, and LeGarrette Blount comes in and rushes for 2 touchdowns and looks good doing it. Who do we see being the main guy in that backfield, or is there not a main guy there?
Well, I think the Patriots approach every game planning their backfield to – it totally depends on the opposing defense and the matchups. In this game, the Packers' run defense has been better, but for a while they were the worst run defense in the NFL. I would imagine they plan to do some running.
I think it's also something where you change it up quarter by quarter, and the Patriots and the Packers are very good at that. They were a little mix in the up-tempo in the second quarter because Dom Capers is kind of one of those game plan defensive coordinators where he's going to cook up some things, and you never really want him to key on it, and it's a good matchup kind of the coaches between McDaniels and Capers.
Well, I think we talked about the Patriots' secondary. Patriots aren't allowing anybody to run the ball the last few weeks either. Ever since the Denver game, they've shut down running games.
It does bode well that against Detroit, Golden Tate has been amazing. Him and Megatron, I thought that was a chance for New England's defense to get hit up a little bit there, and they shut that team down. So
I think Jerod Mayo, you miss him as a Patriots fan that he's not there, but Dante Hightower has been playing at a higher level than I think Jerod Mayo's played for the last
Greg,
few years.
Greg, as a Patriots fan, do you feel like are we correct in what we've been saying all season that you simply just glide from one beautiful mountaintop to the next?
Yeah.
Well, that is what you do as a Patriots fan.
It is like, nice to have a game like this where you would hate to see them get blown out, but it's kind of like you could accept that loss, that it's just a great football
event. Forget it. Well, I don't even
I'm
like this
saying.
Narrative
yeah.
because, if anything, it's the other way around.
They're
the
in
Patriots
Green Bay.
Are blowing everybody out. I don't care where they're going. Why are we not assuming that they might
well,
blow
you
out the Packers?
Them. Why didn't you
I'm
take them?
I'm just saying. We're not always right, as the standings clearly indicate. Like that, we should not overlook that the Patriots could lay a whooping on the Packers because they're killing everybody right now. They're
Wouldn't
playing at another
surprising.
Level.
I am loving the fact that I have a potential hero pick for a team that it just had the best month in about 7 or 8 years of any team.
That's what we're saying. One ease after the next. It's
what a
all
life.
It's all soft landings.
It's
you
a
can
beautiful
still come
life.
Over. I mean, you can come over. We got a couple of years left of Brady and Belichick, maybe two.
I'm not joining
just
that
a couple.
Team.
It won't last forever. Let's move on to our second game we're really excited about, and it is the Denver Broncos, the defending AFC champions, head to Kansas City. The Broncos, of course, coming off that comeback win over the Dolphins, and now the Chiefs get the Broncos at home. This is a huge game for both teams, really. Denver comes in at 8-3, Kansas City at 7-4, so first place is at stake in this game. I'll start with you, Greg. What are you looking for in this game?
Well, if the Kansas City Chiefs can come up with a better way to get to Peyton Manning than Miami did, because after two games where Peyton Manning and that offensive line looked very ordinary, they got the ball out of his hands so quickly. They played almost a perfect game against a really good defense. Now they go to a hostile environment. I think Kansas City's defense is good enough to give them problems and that this will be a tough game.
Well, as we mentioned in the beginning, the Broncos came out and established the run. They weren't even in the shotgun to begin the game, which is unusual for them. They just ran heavy, and that totally stopped the Dolphins' pass rush. It kept that blitz from being – I mean, Justin Houston's been on fire. Dante Poe's been on fire. So it's a more difficult matchup, but I like what I saw of the Broncos' offense.
You know the Denver's –
they were great. They were almost perfect.
You know they're well-coached under Adam Gase, too. When their running games seem completely anemic, they take, as you mentioned, a couple of undrafted guys and then set them free. I mean, that's good preparation. And the Broncos, something that was a weakness a month ago, is turning into recently a strength for them. I like that about the Broncos.
Kansas City, blowing that Oakland game is going to haunt them because that killed their wiggle room. They have to win this game. That would give them a season split with Denver. But we all took the Broncos, right? I don't think anyone took the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think this is more of a coin flip game, though. I mean, I took the Chiefs when Seattle came in and they took care of business there. Just because they had a really ugly Thursday night game against Oakland, I'm not kind of throwing in the towel. They were very good for a while before that.
And I remember, what was the game where Denver spanked someone? And I remember you wrote the post that they're the best team in football. It was about a month ago now. I'm trying to remember what that game was. But they were playing... The Broncos are playing at the level, the way we view the Patriots right now. The Broncos, it shows you how quickly the NFL changes and how things change. But they do seem vulnerable the last month or so. There seems to be something a little bit off. So that's why I totally agree. This game can go either way, especially playing it in Arrowhead. God, I almost want to get frisky and go with the Chiefs, but I'm not a man.
I never thought that I would be more excited about the Chiefs offense just because Donnie Avery is probably coming back this week.
Oh, my God!
But they've needed him. They don't have any other receivers beyond Dwayne Bowe. They've needed Donnie Avery.
Are you at all disappointed, I'll throw this out to anyone, with the Broncos defense? Because we kind of thought that this was going to be a top five defense, and it's been good. But there's a lot of great players. But, you know, when you see them against Miami, when you see them even against St. Louis, like, they're not playing at that level. They're certainly not a top five defense anymore.
They seem to be going through a rough stretch the last couple of weeks, but Von Miller dominated that second half against the Dolphins without recording a sack. He was in the backfield almost every time Tannehill dropped back.
They only need to be dominant in January. That's what they were built for. I mean, it sounds simplistic, but the whole point is that's where they fell apart last season.
You don't want to go to New England. And if they can win this game in Kansas City, the rest of the schedule sets up fairly well for Denver to run the table and really force New England to also run the table to keep that one seed.
By the way, Wes mentioned Von Miller. I believe Von Miller was near the top of your list of top 10 comeback players of the year.
Ooh.
Could access that vanity URL that Greg put together, NFL.com/comeback. Is it true?
Well, we'll
I
do it by the time people hear this or watch this on NFL Now. We'll get it
Where
done.
Where was Miller? Three?
Second.
Seconds. Who's number one? Wait, don't say. Go to the freaking website, bro.
Professional teaser.
And sisses watching.
Bruh.
All right, so, yeah, that's it for that game. unless we have something else to add.
I don't think so. Just slough it off.
It's fine. No, read Wes's content. It's usually very, very insightful.
I wish you would read it.
I did read it.
Oh.
I read it today. How else would I know that Von Miller was in the top three?
That's true. He was complaining about people in honorable mention, like Jason Pierre-Paul.
That's true. Wes, taking shots at me. And Mark, read your content, the rookie content, yesterday.
I don't believe
that at all.
Wow,
that was wild.
What was the theme this week? Because each week there's a different theme.
Yes, the theme which I thought was really well done, finding hidden gems in the back of the draft.
Oh, we got it right.
Eat it, because I'm the champion here.
All right, you read my piece for the first time in 7 months.
You read the headline.
You guys are spoiled. Yeah. As I tweet out your content and read it all, you won't give me any credit.
You're right.
Wes, just for this, I'm going to do extra research notes content today.
I hope you learned how to use it.
I am the king of the research notes.
You are on a hot streak. You finally learned how to use them last week.
All right. Okay, before we go on, by the way, let's get real right now. We have a new sponsor. Our first sponsor on the podcast. Yeah, all right.
Cole and the gang are sponsoring us.
We're getting rich.
Money's good.
Right?
Wait, oh.
Not at all.
Okay.
All this money is funneling straight into TD's bank account, and then is being sent up to shadowy league figures. We will continue to just entertain like jesters. All I do is win, win, no matter what. TD just, he's saying he did it.
That's his embezzlement music.
All right, so here's we have an endorser. It is FanDuel. How's your fantasy team doing? If you're like me and like the whole around the NFL crew, you'd probably love to start over and get a new team.
My team's good.
Speak for yourself.
Your team stink.
You guys don't even
set your lineup. Your season's over.
Kate Mara will rise again. You can this weekend. You could get a new team with FanDuel.com. Tell you a little story. Chris Prince from Detroit, avid fantasy football player. He's won over $656,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel.com. Join him and the hundreds of thousands of other users who have
already
won money. I don't know.
I want $650,000.
Do you even know what FanDuel is? I know you see a lot of commercials about it.
I know what FanDuel is. I don't know what $650,000 is.
FanDuel Weekly Fantasy.
The leader in one-week fantasy football leagues. The money is real. Entry fees start at just $1. No season-long commitment, no upfront fees. You can play each week or whenever you want. You can set up a new lineup each week. And every week, if you're good enough, if you're tough enough, can do it. Anyway, go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code AROUND and sign up now. The new user special is ending soon. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200. That's up to $200 free. Yowzer! Offer is good. For the first 50 people that use the code AROUND, don't forget to use my code AROUND. That is FanDuel, official sponsor of the Around the NFL podcast.
They're going to be using our code has got to do better than the other podcast code.
How
That's
about
what I'm saying.
That?
People are listening.
Check in on the code.
Or you could just be this gentleman from Detroit and not worry about producing a show or having a real job. You just knock it out. Get
Chris
the cash.
Chris and I got out of fantasy too early.
I think we should get back in. We could tag team this one.
Chris Prince, a hero. Anyway, so that's that. How was that, TD? Were you proud
pretty
of
well,
us?
Pretty well, pretty solid. First good run at our new sponsor.
I like it. Well, I think we deserve
I think
a little.
I love it too.
I feel like we deserve a little treat now that we are really kowtowing to the man with our new sponsor. I want to play a game with Wes. Why don't we play a game with Wes?
Good. I like All that. Right.
I don't know if you guys heard Katy Perry was officially announced.
This game's going to be great. I have no idea what it is.
Officially announced as the halftime performer at the Super Bowl in Arizona. Hopefully we'll all be there to see Miss Perry do her thing. Wes, the first thing I thought of was you when they made the announcement, because this is a very famous artist. Wes, Greg, you're aware of Katy Perry's work, a general idea.
She's so big, my father-in-law, who lives in Japan, emailed me just for my thoughts on it, because he's going to be going to the game this year. And he's like, what do you think of this big Katy Perry show? It's got buzz internationally.
I liked when you told the story originally and tried to say it like your father-in-law.
I would have HR coming in.
I enjoyed that. So, yeah, Katy Perry, Mark, you know as well. You have two young boys, but everybody knows Katy Perry music.
Yeah, you'd have to essentially have, you know, existed underground to not know. I don't know every one of her songs, but I certainly know who she is and what her whole thing is about.
All right, so I'm curious. Yes, a lot of people. But does Wes know Katy Perry music? So I decided, worked with TD on this, a great producer behind the glass.
Ideas not generated by Mark and Greg.
And I want right to just quickly, I want to hear. I want to know if has Chris Wessling heard of this Katy Perry song? So let's start with one right off the bat. Let's go with the first one.
Yes, I've heard of that song.
Wow.
That was the one that I knew I was going to know right off the bat. There are no others that I could tell you. I can't tell you any other titles she's had.
Okay. Let's play a game then. Since you knew one, can you take off your headphones 1 second?
Sure.
Okay. All right, TD, play the second song, and then I'm going to ask you guys if you think Wes will know it.
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
No, I mean, Chris is out in public places a lot, and this is everywhere.
Okay, Wes, the can's back on.
I trust Chris's
reaction
that he doesn't know it.
I'm
going to
say he doesn't know it.
Wow. Okay.
And what do you think, Rick?
No.
Okay, so one yes and two no's. Go. It's like the biggest hit of 2012, I believe.
I have no idea what the title is, but I believe when I was in Vegas, I heard this in the day club, nightclub.
Yeah, it would be hard not to have heard it. Right.
All right, so that's a yes then.
What's the name of that song?
Firework.
Not something I would ever listen to.
Okay, let's play headphones off one more time. One more song. Let's do this one. So that's a victory for Mark there. All right, this one's for a sandwich. Here we go. I got the eye of the
tiger. Yes.
I don't even know this one, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to definitely say no, because I don't
Cans,
even know.
I think I'm going to call an upset. Yes, he knows it. Mark?
Yeah, no, I said yeah. I've been out to taverns with Chris, and I know this is
right.
played in
Greg,
the room.
I feel Let's strong. Put a sandwich on this one.
I feel strong no. If I don't know it, Wes doesn't know it.
So sandwich? You and me?
Sandwich.
Okay. Whew, come on, Wes. Get in culture.
Wes, if you just lie, you got half a sandwich.
I'll, I'll give you three quarters.
Honesty.
I kind of like this one.
but have you heard it before?
I have heard of it, and I'm guessing the name is Eye of the Tiger.
It's called Roar.
Oh.
And by the way, thank you, and thank you for the sandwich, Greg. TD and I, we were sharing an email. Shamefully, both like that song, unironically.
It's a catchy tune.
I like
it's
it too.
It's a sneaky, legit workout song.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I might have heard it.
Mm. That was going to be my guess for the sandwich.
We've been to three Super Bowls together?
Yeah.
I have not watched a second of any of them, this halftime shows. Maybe a second of Madonna.
Yeah.
But this is the one I'm excited for.
Stop.
Well, you know who's excited
I would have a sandwich that you won't watch a
second of
this
I am allowed to be excited for
you know
it.
Who
no, but I don't believe and I don't even believe
you
pay
attention
when the moment
comes. No, I'm kind of into Katy Perry. I like her. I like all three of those songs.
You know who is in on this? Papa Hansis, Keith Hansis, my dad. Big Katy Perry fan, and I won't get into details why he loves her so much. Loves Katy Perry, looking forward to potentially seeing her in a live venue this year.
If I was in charge of entertainment, it would be like Emmylou Harris and Bonnie Raitt doing the headphones.
Emmylou Harris reference! Actually, it crossed my mind to include Emmylou Harris as a curveball at some point.
I would get all of those.
Yeah, I know.
I think NFL media is definitely going to heat seat Chris for next year's show.
All right.
Oh, so yeah.
Emmylou Harris definitely doesn't have any videos where she's wearing a bikini with firecrackers blasting off.
Emmylou Harris, 67 years old and more attractive than Katy Perry.
Oh, no.
Wes. This is getting weird.
Wes's lowest moment has just occurred. All right.
I wish you weren't a liar.
I'm going to look up Emmylou Harris after the show just for that. All right,
she's a fox. Silver-haired fox.
By the way, you can age with grace, and I'm sure – I'm not saying just because she's older, she's not – Katy Perry is an attractive – there's that – well, she is. She is hanging in there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But let's – come on, Katy Perry.
I don't think you should knock Emmylou until you've looked her up.
No.
Okay. She's a very attractive older woman. All right, let's move back on to the games. Greg, very happy to see us get
back
on track.
Back in the 70s, though, you're right.
I know.
Foxy.
But I was like knee-high to a June bug.
Wes sometimes lives in the 70s in terms of pop culture, so I think when you think of her, you're thinking of that 24-year-old version. Yeah.
Well, the 70s were the best music.
Right. As you've said many times.
Yeah. That would be the 90s, but, you know.
It's pretty much a rule. Everyone always likes the music that they were listening to when they were 17 for the rest of their lives. They always think that was the best. That's really more about when you're born.
There's nothing quite like 90s R&B.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that's not even the best 90s R&B song. That would be No Diggity.
It's just the one I have.
No Diggity is the essential 90s R&B.
Return of the Mac's better than No Diggity.
All right, let's get back on track.
I mean, that's a nice little picture of back in the day.
The Cleveland Browns are heading to Buffalo to Orchard Park to face the Bills. The Buffalo Bills coming off that wipeout of the Jets. They get to return home. They will be able to play at Ralph Wilson Stadium, which is good news for everybody involved with the Bills and who live in that area. So that's good news. And now the Browns coming off what was a really dramatic win in Atlanta. Now go to Buffalo. And this is I wouldn't go as far as saying it's a playoff game for both teams. I think for the Bills, it's very close. So that's 6-6 probably does them in. But let's face it, the way the AFC North is shaping up, the Browns at 7-4, if they fall to 7-5, it might be hard to get into the playoffs without winning every other game for the rest of the way, which probably won't happen. So big game here. Mark, your initial thoughts, because I know you started on one side of the ledger, talked about it on our previous show, and now you're going to the other side.
Yeah, I picked Buffalo out of the gate because while you're right, Cleveland's win last week was exciting, it was not very impressive. And Buffalo's defense, I just don't like the matchup of what Cleveland has in terms of their offensive line and their ground. They are ground game dependent, and they're running up against what is probably the best defensive line in the NFL right now. I think the X factor is if there's any more chemistry, because this was off last week. You know, Josh Gordon, 120 yards. But it kind of happened in a way that you don't really wouldn't really remember how it happened. It's that easy for him. But Hoyer probably missed 50, 60, 70 extra yards and a potential score to Gordon.
Some weird Gordon stuff after that game, too, came out this week, whether Pettine publicly said you got to, you know, do a better job fighting for balls and going up to get balls. And then Gordon told our own Nate Burleson that he was shunned by some of his own teammates in the locker room during suspension. So, I don't know. I guess Gordon is kind of an interesting guy to keep an eye on the rest of the season.
Give us an update on where you think the Browns' offensive line is. Because remember, just early in the year, we thought, okay, this is like the next best group to Dallas. And then Alex Mack leaves, and you were basically blaming their struggles for a while on Alex Mack being out. Where are they now that they've kind of settled in? Because this, I agree. I think the Bills' defensive line is the best in the league by far.
Well, I think it's been hot and cold, but they run a zone blocking
scheme. Another
Katy
Perry song, by the way.
There you go. Just constantly drawing that back. They had a practice squad guy that they put into the center position in a zone blocking scheme. It's a hard role to jump into for a guy that really has no experience. They've gotten the Bengals game. They ran the ball very well, I thought. And against Atlanta, you know, we saw Isaiah Crowell have
I'm thinking
his best
more
game.
Even in pass protection, too, because the Bills, you know, they're a fine run-stopping team, but
their
they are a
pass protection has been pretty good all year.
They are a tough team to stop if you need to pass. I mean, the Jets found that out. When you get behind, they go crazy.
Could be a tough one.
Any thoughts, Wes?
You guys covered it all.
Wow.
I love it.
Wes picked the Bills.
So, yeah, Wes, again, going against the Brownies to the
end.
It's
what I do.
Yeah, that's what you do. And, by the way, the picks are really heating up because Mark made up three games on me this week. Greg picked up a game. So, Mark and I are tied at first place.
I picked up a couple games.
Greg, you picked up two games? You're two. Okay, you're one game out. Patra, two games out. Wes, unfortunately, has not made his move yet. It's time to get going, Wes.
Mailing it in.
He's been forked.
So that's where we are in the standings. So now it's getting down to the nitty gritty. We haven't decided but we should get like a championship belt or something for this group. I don't know. Throw an idea.
Well, then I'd like be that. Invested.
What? Yeah. Well, this is,
who doesn't like a belt?
This is the swing game because Patra, Wes, and I have the Bills at home, and you guys went with the Browns.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. Moving forward, the tennis.
Yes?
The Texans are playing against the Titans. The Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans, this at Reliance Stadium, and Wes's favorite quarterback in the NFL, Ryan Fitzpatrick, back in the lineup now that Ryan Mallett has been sidelined for the season with a pectoral tear. So you have a little Mettenberger-Fitzpatrick showdown in Houston. Houston basically done, 5-6, but we can put them to bed officially as in the hunt on those screens when they show the playoff rundown if they can't take care of business here. How do we see this playing out, guys?
Mettenberger versus Fitzpatrick is my own personal hell. There's a guy who writes for the Titans website who asked me to analyze Zach Mettenberger this week. He gave me three questions, and I filled him out. And I thought I did, pretty thorough job, and he emailed me back this morning. He says, yeah, this is for the Titans official website. We shouldn't try to skew quite so negatively. Can I change your wording on this?
What did you say?
What do you got to be honest? What does he want?
I said he's been wholly reliant upon big plays and broken coverage. He doesn't sustain the offense or move the chains, and they only score on big plays. He's a statue in the pocket. He holds the ball too long, and I don't think he's their quarterback of the future.
Who would you – if you're a coach, you got to win a game. You got Fitzpatrick. You got Mettenberger.
Sad.
Mettenberger, if it's garbage time.
You're starting the game. All things are equal, and you need to win the game.
I'd take Fitzpatrick and feel very confident about it. Mettenberger's 0-4.
Wow. That's fair. Great. This is a player in Mettenberger that people disagree on. Greg Cosell has been effusive that he thinks Mettenberger is not just the answer in Tennessee, but he's going to be a really good quarterback.
Shocker.
Well, he loves that type
and
of
he was his number
Cosell
downfield.
Loves statue quarterbacks with huge arms.
He was his number two quarterback going in. But he says from what he's seen on the field this year that it's almost like it's decided Mettenberger's going to be good. That's a strange thought for
me. Greg Cosell knows how to break down film a lot better than I do, so I'm not seeing what he's seeing.
You got a hero pick on this one, by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Wes, we know how desperate he is because he went with Mettenberger to take down the Texans on the road, no less. Away we go, Zach Mettenberger, a new type of Zach attack.
Well, one of the reasons why I did that is because the Titans don't lack talent. Delanie Walker is a Pro Bowl tight end this year, making plays every week. Justin Hunter can make big plays. Kendall Wright's a very good receiver. Nate Washington's not a bad number three. Out of all the rookie quarterbacks, Mettenberger has by far the best surrounding talent.
Dan's breaking out in hives with all this Titans talk.
I don't even know who we're talking about, so I feel uncomfortable being someone that's trying to drive the conversation. Let's move on to Indianapolis, where the Washington Redskins are facing the Colts. The Redskins big announcement this week. They have now abandoned RG3 for the season and perhaps forever. They've sat him down in favor of Sessler's boy, Colt McCoy, who will take over as a starter for the rest of the season probably if he stays healthy. And they're facing the Colts, who are at home, seem to be in a really good position here. But as crazy as it is, and we would have never thought this, it shows you how crazy football is 6 months ago, but the Redskins are probably in a better position to put up a fight with Colt McCoy than RG3, correct?
No question about it. I tweeted last night after we found out the news, the Redskins had to make this move. I don't know what position RG3 was playing the last 2 weeks, but it's not quarterback.
The craziest moment of Gruden's press conference today was there was a question whether Griffin is a better worse player than Gruden when Gruden arrived. And Gruden squirmed like he was being interrogated in a murder trial, and he just sort of made a funny face for like 10 seconds.
You could see the panic in his eyes when the woman asked the question.
He had no idea. Eventually he got around to some point that didn't really answer the question. And then another answer for him today, he said, Kurt wasn't happy when I went to Colt. Colt wasn't happy when I went back to Robert, and Robert's not happy that I went back to Colt. It's like a merry-go-round.
Well, hold on. Part of this is
there
like,
you go.
Gruden. Yeah. Gruden was very clear that RG3 wasn't his guy months ago, and this is basically you thought that Gruden was coming in for all the things about him that I didn't love as a head coach, the concept of him running an organization, that his work with a quarterback in theory would be his strength. They're exactly where they were a year ago. Yes, they're not going to do quite as strong of a shutdown of RG3 that Shanahan had. It's the same thing. They're right back in the same place
with
RG3.
But do you put that on Gruden?
I put back on a little bit in the fact that they're cycling through to their third quarterback again. And will Colt McCoy finish the season? I wouldn't bet on that at all. We could see a new quarterback next week when they get whacked 31-7 in this game.
I think Jay Gruden, he talks a little too much. I think that it's something maybe he'll learn in time. I like when a coach is honest with the media, but he seems to always say a little too much, more than he has to, which is going to get him in trouble. It's done the same thing to his old quarterback, RG3. But back to RG3 a second, by the way. We were talking about Greg Cosell, too. He had a piece this week that I read. He had a screen grab. This just shows you how lost RG3 was. And I don't know if it was Gruden that contributed to this or Griffin just completely just continuing to struggle to a point where he's not even a quarterback anymore. Cosell had a screen grab of a drive where the two wideouts on each side were running outs on each side or out routes on each side where they were open. They both broke open. He had three checkdown guys in front of him, all wide open. So he had five open guys. He missed them all, didn't read it, didn't see it, scrambled, and then threw it out of bounds as pressure got to him. I mean, this is a broken quarterback. He's a lost puppy behind center.
Broken beyond repair, at least as far as this season goes.
Yeah.
He has to be – Cosell has pointed this out, and it's obvious watching. He has to be reprogrammed or rebooted, and I'm not sure that he'll ever be a good quarterback just because he was such a dynamic athlete when he was a good quarterback, and he's not that guy anymore.
Yeah, physically he's not the same – player, but I mean, as Greg pointed out in a post last night, if Kevin Cobb and guys like Matt Flynn can get teams to keep believing in them over and over, RG3, if he's not on the Redskins next year,
he won't be, I don't think.
All right, and I don't think he should be either, because this drama has gotten insane in Washington. But some other coach or a number of coaches are going to vie for this guy because they're going to think they can fix what's going on here.
Bills,
we were talking,
Jets.
Yeah. Oh, God, please no. We were Titans. Talking about tortured fan bases downstairs this morning. Got pretty heated, actually. And I don't want to hear a Redskins fan tell me that they're the most tortured fan base. It's been a rough couple decades now. But in general, they got those rings. They should be happy. But I will say this. I'm bummed out if I'm a Redskins fan because I have my big matchup with the Colts. And when I looked at this in August and I was really excited about the season, I thought it was going to be RG3, Andrew Luck, the two studs of 2012 going head-to-head. Now that guy's sitting on the sideline. It's over for RG3. It's crumbled so quickly. It's amazing. It's
they had one playoff game, or they've had a couple little things with Chris Sims or Bruno, but for the last decade, they're up there with the worst, most
I would definitely
because
say.
The emotional pain of all the drama and just being kind of a national embarrassment is always there.
Greg also mentioned that the Patriots were up there because they had lost a number of Super Bowls.
That we all took the Colts, of course.
Have you looked at the 2012 draft class? Speaking of RG3's benching, you have Luck. Okay. Then you have RG3 benched, Trent Richardson, the slowest running back in the NFL, Matt Khalil, a swinging gate this year,
and last
who
year.
Assaults fans on the. On the
Morris Claiborne, a bust.
Oof.
Justin Blackmon.
J- Justin Blackmon indefinitely suspended.
Oh, my God.
And the seventh pick, Mark Barron, was just traded a month ago by the team that drafted him.
Yikes.
So those are the top seven
sometimes
picks.
It's the year that you're drafting there, because it's not like all those teams are just stupid.
Well,
those
next
players
well,
would have gone
high. 2013, yeah. Just as equally a mess.
All right, moving on. This is let's get through this game pretty quickly. The New York Giants are heading to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. The Giants almost beat the Cowboys. They came so close to beating the Cowboys in their building. Didn't work out. And they face a Jaguars team, which is going nowhere at 1-10. And I found it interesting that Gus Bradley came out and basically tried to light a fire under Blake Bortles a little bit, I think. He said, you know, we believe in him. He's talented, but we haven't seen as much as we thought we were going to see. Was this a smart move to do through the press the way they did?
Why not? I think it shows that he isn't – that he thinks Bortles can handle it. You know what I mean? That he's not going to be too sensitive. I don't think that's a concern for them with Bortles.
A lot of times when – and this may be not the case in Washington, but in other places, when quarterbacks hear their coaches say that in to the media, they're hearing that in meetings. It shouldn't be a surprise to Blake Bortles that that's the way they feel. I mean, how many things coming out of Jacksonville even reach a national audience? I don't even know if I heard that.
Maybe it was on our site, but...
Well, I'm not paying attention, apparently.
Maybe they had the right idea in August. They should have stuck with Chad Henne longer.
Oh, Bortles, I don't... really?
Bortles doesn't trust his O-line at all. When I'm watching that game, he's throwing checkdowns every play.
I don't know if they should have stuck with Henne because we all pushed for the opposite.
Yeah.
But what's happened was their greatest fear, and it's why they were anxious about it, and they got fooled kind of by the preseason.
Let me ask you guys a question. I'm just curious. You're the GM of the Jaguars, and your boy Reggie McKenzie calls you up, old Reg, and he says, hey, I want to offer you Derek Carr for Blake Bortles straight up. Do you take the deal?
No.
I'd rather have Bortles.
I would take
Carr.
I'm
just doing a heat check on, wow, so you're ready to move on?
I would.
Bortles is your boy.
Not moving on. He's not my boy to begin with.
I thought he was your boy. You were high on Bortles.
I think that Bortles, in theory and the way he is physically, was someone that most GMs probably would look at higher than Carr. But Carr, to me, he's got some moxie. I kind of just like his whole makeup.
You know,
I
was thinking, like, Tom Coughlin, he's been good with quarterbacks. He's returning here to Jacksonville. Maybe after the game, he just stays and becomes the Jaguars coach. His foundation is down there.
Is he going to coach till he's 100?
He lives down there.
Yeah,
maybe he's the next guy.
Like 95
they
years
trade
old.
Coaches.
By the way, let's not leave out the only reason to watch this game.
Please.
I'm amazed we spent this much time
on
it.
I know, I can't believe it.
Odell Beckham.
Oh.
Yeah, he's awesome.
The most fun player to watch in the NFL right now. You can assign me this game, even though I hate the Giants and the Jaguars are unwatchable.
Sold.
I'll take it just to watch
Odell. We have a lot of early games, only two late, so you're each getting two, and you're sold.
Moving on, we move on to the Minnesota Vikings, who are at home. Outdoors, Mark, not under the Teflon Dome. They're at home. They will face the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, who for all intents and purposes, should be out of this thing, but they're actually just a half game out of first place at 3-7-1, as pathetic as that is. So this is a game where there is something to it. The Vikings can't make the same case for the Vikings. They're done at 4-7. But the Panthers still have a shot to save their season after all of this. Is there any way they – first of all, we'll start with this game. They're going to take care of business, and if they do, are they going to put together some type of run and maybe be the first NFC South team to ever repeat?
Ooh. I took the Vikings because the Vikings defense is, to me, the best group in this game. I don't like much about this game, but I like the Vikings defense.
To answer your question, I think the Panthers are a fundamentally flawed team, both on the offensive line and in the defensive backfield. I don't think they can put it together.
It would be a disgraceful repeating of division winning to where they're going to have to – they'll be like a five-game winner winning the South if they pull that off.
They've been outscored by 85 points this year. And to put that in perspective, the only teams that have been outscored by more are the Bucks, the Jags, and the Raiders, and the Titans. So, like, the worst teams in the league, that's Carolina.
Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, I got in my notes the past 2 weeks the same note on Bridgewater. Takes way too much effort to throw his deep ball. He reminds me of Dalton a little bit that way. And that was the pre-draft comparison from some people to Dalton. I don't like where he is right now, and I wouldn't be that excited about him.
You remind me by notes about my research notes guy that I have to my left, and I'm scrambling now because I don't think I'm prepared.
No, Dan, keep sifting through. He's flipping pages here.
Cam Newton is 1-1 against the Titans with 3 touchdown passes in each start.
No, that was not good.
What?
There was
against
nothing
the Vikings
useful.
Or Titans?
Doesn't matter. I got it out there. the note from the guide. How do we do? How do we pick these games?
We all picked the Vikings. Not shockingly, but I'm a little surprised.
We are out on the Panthers, the former team of ATL. Moving forward, the New Orleans Saints head to Pittsburgh. After blowing three home games in a row, the Saints now go to Pittsburgh, where things do not get any easier, to face the Steelers. Big game, very big game for the Steelers. Every game for these AFC North games is so teams is so huge because they're so tightly packed. 7-3-1, and then 3-7-4 teams. The Steelers, one of them, and then of course the Saints, who are 4-7 and tied with the Falcons atop the NFC South. So is again one team's well over 500, the other one's well below 500, but both teams it means a lot to the playoffs.
50 points over under for the Steelers in this game.
Oh, I thought you meant for both teams. Come
no,
on.
I'm just saying the Steelers.
Under. I'll take the under.
50, huh?
I'm smelling a 50 burger.
Wow.
At least a 40 burger.
This is the under.
Feels high,
this is the underachiever bowl.
57-35.
Well, I feel that way about Pittsburgh, wow. But a lot
their
less
their defense
so.
Is terrible.
I like it. It's bold.
Well, we're talking about a team that lost to the Bucks, lost to the Jets, barely beat the Tech. Barely beat the Titans, barely beat the Jaguars. They're underachievers. And
this,
so
by
the
way, this was my Super Bowl that I picked.
Really?
Yes. Wow. By the way, we laugh
game.
Now.
Our
but
two
the
Super Bowl
not...
games in one
By the way,
week
Mark,
here.
More like the toilet bowl.
Well done.
You Thank messed you. Up. You picked the Saints.
Multi-talented Dan Hansa strikes again.
I came up with that. That's an original comment. Did I just shut down the whole podcast?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, it was a clunker.
Because if you guys aren't ready... I have another note to read if you
Shocking.
Guys got nothing else to say.
Someone say something.
Is this one relevant?
Maybe. It's vaguely relevant. The Saints are 1-7 in their last 8 road games dating back to last season. Turnover differential of minus 11. Awful road team.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I want to see how the Steelers recover without LeGarrette Blount.
Hopefully they recover better than Mark did off my toilet bowl comment.
Hey now.
What was he getting, 5 carries a game?
I'm just saying, glue guy. You're gonna miss that guy in the locker room.
How do we pick this game?
All Steelers.
All
we
Steelers.
All picked Pittsburgh. Yeah.
God, I thought about going with the Saints.
I don't know if I'm gonna pick
really?
The Saints again this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
You're gonna pick the Saints a lot.
If the Saints
the
only
see the I'm tomato right. cans.
Yeah. If the Saints only had one win, then it would be a no-brainer. You got to go with them.
They are good enough to stick in this game because it's crazy. Breeze is getting killed for a bad season. It's like every mistake he makes turns into a pick.
He has had
six.
A bad season.
They'll put up 30 points, though, in this game.
It's only because of what he's been. He's fallen off this season from his
past.
Yeah,
he's like a 10th or 11th quarterback this year. He's supposed to be third or fourth.
They dialed up a ton of yardage on Monday night, which is completely lost in the fact that they had those mistakes. But this game could be a fun watch.
Steelers' defense is getting a lot healthier. Your Super Bowl pick for this, it's still in front of them. I mean, they've been up and down and a little disappointing, but... They've got it all in front of them. They're
for
in
Pittsburgh.
Fine, for Pittsburgh,
this,
yeah. not New
Your
Orleans.
Your Super Bowl still could happen.
Yeah,
still
mathematically, could. A whole bunch of things could happen.
All right, moving on. The Oakland Raiders, who finally got that first win, that elusive first win on Thursday Night Football against the Chiefs, head to St. Louis to face the Rams, who are either the worst good team in the league or the best bad team in the league. I'm not sure, but they're feisty on a
they're
regular
the best,
basis.
Best bad team, I guess, right?
They're a bad team.
You were trying to clown on them because they're a 4-7 team, but you watch them every week. They're a good team.
You can't just excuse their offense.
They have a good running back. I like Trey Mason.
Like, I mean,
I guess my point is there a big difference between, not to pick on you, Mark, here, is there a big difference between the Rams and the Browns? No. I mean, is there a big difference between the Rams and the Bills? Or the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I think don't
the
think
the Rams'
so.
Offense is not well coached to
yeah,
start.
Yeah, they have the exact opposite record of the Browns. That's a big deal.
But you change a couple plays here or there for any team, and you
yeah,
can
but then
reverse
nothing,
two
then,
games.
But then nothing means – why are we doing this podcast then? Nothing means
I'm saying
anything.
You watch the eyeball test, that the good teams that they beat, and I think they're
the
a good team.
The Rams
like
had a horrible
eight
defense for half the year, and they've had a horrible offense for most of
well,
the
I'm
year.
Talking about them now.
The Rams' defense yeah, is pretty good now, though, right?
Well, now
they're
is.
Pretty good now. Their offense is way below average.
They beat the Broncos. They beat the 49ers. Let's see. Let's
By
see
the
some
way,
of these other teams
Wes,
do that.
How about you take the Raiders then?
The Rams?
The Raiders.
Yeah.
If you hate the Rams so much.
When did I become a Raiders lover?
I don't know. You just think the Rams stink. Take the Raiders.
The Rams do stink. Look, if I was Richard Sherman or Anquan Boldin, I would point out that the Rams don't matter in the NFL. They go 7-9 every year, and they refuse to draft a quarterback. They
that
don't
seems
matter.
Mean. That's, that feels like a mean
the Raiders
It's not my fault. It's theirs.
By the time this game is played, the Raiders haven't lost in more than a week. More than 2 weeks.
Kill Wes for saying that Team A stinks and then picking them against a team with one win.
Well, that was a joke.
That was a joke.
I'm just, you know, introducing some logic into that equation.
Mark's mad at me because I took a small thought that maybe the Rams and Browns aren't so different.
It's not Browns. What it is, it's you're looking at a team that's 7-4 and one that's 4-7 and saying they're the same thing. It's like, well, then why are we playing these games?
I guess my point is if they go on a neutral field, I think those teams are even right now, Browns and Rams. And I think Rams are even or better than with a lot of teams.
That's probably true of 88% of the league,
though. I think the Browns win six of those games.
I think the Browns win seven.
I was just saying one.
One of them still has Sean Hill as its quarterback.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's very fair. All right, moving on. The Cincinnati Bengals head to Tampa Bay to face the Bucs. I got a little overly excited about the Bucs, thinking they were going to make a nice late season run, and then they laid a stinker in Chicago. They're 2-9. They're awful. Forget them. They're bums. And then the Bengals, they bounced back nicely, of course, after their meltdown against the Browns. They've won two straight weeks. Andy Dalton's playing better. Things seem to be doing well. And Greg, you were – I was looking to tee you up on Sunday's show, but you weren't able to do it, talking about the backfield in Cincinnati and how that is something that could really help this team down the stretch.
I hate to say it because I admit I don't really enjoy this Bengals team, but they are rounding into form. And there's a lot to like about them right now, including that backfield. I mean, Jeremy Hill has gotten better each and every week. Gio Bernard, there's not many 1-2 punches that are better than that.
And this is what I think when, you know, Hugh Jackson came in, this is what he pointed to in the offseason, which so often those things don't happen. But they're running the ball enough where the point is you don't want to have to make Andy Dalton throw the ball every game 50 times.
Like, what? How many games this year have A.J. Green, Gio Bernard, and Jeremy Hill been on the field together? Two? One?
Yeah.
The last one? They look pretty good.
And Green looks 100% now. And by the way, Jeremy Hill is averaging 5 yards a carry, and it's not a small sample size. It's 131 carries. This guy touches the ball, good things happen.
He had a great sequence about the 3-minute mark in the fourth quarter last week. He had a really nice reception and had a really quick cut to kill the clock that a lot of running backs wouldn't have made. That was the first time all year I was like, oh, this they might have something in this.
Well, it's interesting that he was in the game there at the end on a passing down and that he made a catch really to win the game. If he gets tackled there or he doesn't catch that pass, Texans have a decent chance to go down and try to win.
In that Jaguars game where he first blew up, he had some cuts in that game where I think that's not what he was advertised on any level as when he came out of the draft. And he's more elusive than you think, and he can run inside. I think he's a perfect complement.
And you know A.J. Green's feeling good because early in the first quarter, he caught a sideline pass over A.J. Bouye and turned to the Texan sideline and said, "You better get someone else on me. You better get someone else on me."
How demeaning.
That's like a West Plain cornhole move. Just like he throws that thing in the hole and he's just like, you better get another opponent up here. I mean, you love to trash
Wes,
talk.
By the way, Wes coming to Hansus Manor for Thanksgiving. I told him, bring the boards.
Oh, they'll be there.
Bring the boards and we'll see what
Maybe
happens.
Maybe get Jack involved.
Get my young boy involved just to watch, just to get an idea of what the game's all about. It's the future national pastime of America. So we all took the Bengals.
It's already more exciting than baseball.
How dare you? You know what? I extend an olive branch, and you go after my sport.
Oh, sorry.
By the way, I look back. TD is so bored right now.
What's up, guys?
Look alive. Let's look alive,
awake.
TD.
That's good. We're almost done, TD. We're trying to get out of here.
Let's attempt professionalism.
He's doing that. He's doing little tricks to keep himself awake.
he's actually testing his pulse to see if it's still going. Moving on, the Arizona Cardinals face the Atlanta Falcons. The Cards got humbled a little bit. They went up to Seattle and got beat, and they didn't move the ball on offense against the Seahawks defense, of course. Now they face the Falcons, who, you know, the Falcons are in first place, 4-7. First place, so another bad NFC South team trying to fight for playoff positioning. Big game for the Cardinals, though, of course. As we said, if they can't take care of business here, all of a sudden they got a one-game lead in their division as you hit December.
Will they have 3 points in their last seven quarters?
I've picked against Arizona too much this year, but I'm surprised just to hear kind of the mood like, well, if they don't get it done, you know. It's like this is Atlanta, and Arizona's a tough team. From everything I've seen out of Arizona, I expect them to go in there and kill them. Like, their defense to play great, to come out with a really great performance. And it doesn't mean they're going to win the division or anything like that, but they're going to go and they're going to beat the Falcons.
I think it's what's lost a little bit watching that Seahawks-Cardinals game from last week is how insane Arizona's defense was earlier in the game before the wheels fell off a little bit at the end. this game doesn't seem that different to me from an offensive angle. Like Cleveland last week going into Atlanta, that concerned me as a Browns fan. Arizona's offense cannot run the ball, and there's nothing with Stanton at quarterback that makes you super confident about what they're doing through the air. But the defense against Arizona, against Atlanta, that could be the X factor.
I think Greg nailed it. The Cardinals are a very tough team. They're what the Falcons thought they might be in Hard Knocks.
Right. And yeah. I don't mean they put up 40 points. I just think it's like 23-7, and it's not too in doubt because I just think this team has something. Yeah, it has enough to win games like this.
They might have
easy.
Too much backbone to really go into a tailspin. But, yeah, they got to score some points.
They're the kind of team – I don't think they're going to let down against a bad opponent. I just think they don't have enough firepower now against good opponents with Stanton under center.
I don't know if Larry Fitzgerald is playing either. He's got that MCL sprain.
You got to wonder in Atlanta's locker room if they're wondering, A, is the coach going to be here a month and a half from now, or any of us going to be here 3 months from now?
Yeah. I mean, Matt Ryan knows it. Julio Jones knows it. They know they're there. But there could be – a big rebuild coming in
Atlanta.
I've
seen enough of Mike Smith.
And they're going to Green Bay. Then they host Pittsburgh. It's like, yes, this team's in first place, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they finished 5-11.
They stink.
Win the division at 5-11. How about that?
I'd like to see what another coach could do with that offensive talent.
Interesting. And you will get a chance. Good luck. Here we go. Finally, Monday Night Football. The Miami Dolphins, who are really hanging in there at 6-5, almost beat the Broncos, fell short. So now they're in essentially a must-win situation or very close to it against the lowly Jets, who have benched Michael Vick now and gone back to Geno Smith in a move that has John Idzik's fingerprints all over it. So now you have Geno back in the lineup. Mo Wilkerson might not be playing, so the Jets' best player might be out of the lineup. So everything's shaping up for the Dolphins to take care of business in the Meadowlands, but the Dolphins don't always seem to do too well with good fortune. So let's see if they take care of business here, but they should win this game. Am I right?
You know, that change also was a mouthwatering move for us, Dan. We win a sandwich. Yes. We had a little proposition.
It's screwed me.
Baby, you're a firework.
It's screwed me. I mean,
woo. There it is. I've got fireworks
going
on my shirt right now.
Look, this is an outrage.
It was down to this week, by the way. So as much drama as you can have in a sandwich
proposition.
All the reporting
was that they were going to stick with Vic.
Right, and Idzik sounds like he wanted Geno in.
He's like, Rex, sit down, big boy. You're no longer in charge right here.
He pulls up his khakis. Look at this, baby.
If Idzik made this decision, it must have happened 3 weeks ago because that's the only way we would have found out about it.
Somehow a carrier pigeon landed and found out that Rex had said in a conference call that Vic would probably still be the starter, and Idzik sent the carrier pigeon back the other way and said, oh, no.
That is – I'm not happy about this
one. I like – by the way, is it first time I think I've ever really felt this way as a Jet fan. I'm all in on the tank fest, the suck for duck, 2-14, and away we go, and I like it. You got Geno Smith – throwing picks and being disastrous. You got Mo Wilkerson, shut him down with that toe injury. Let's go into the tank big time and then start fresh with a new regime and a new quarterback.
Well, this morning at work, we looked.
So depressing to say all that.
Our picks got published, and we noticed that Wes had picked the Jets. And we thought, now he is just at this point giving up on the picks. But he comes into work. He comes into work, and he realizes that he picked them before the Monday night game. That's how long ago you made the
picks. Because they looked so good before that Monday night game.
Well, fair. Yeah. But now it's – of course you can't pick the Jets. But you know what? I think you just switched out of a win because you don't go get blanked on Monday night 2 weeks in a row that badly. Watch the Jets win this game. And then everyone says, what's wrong with Miami?
You should pick them, Mark.
Maybe I will.
Across the board right now we have the Dolphins, but who knows? Maybe the Sizzler has a Cecil.
Please, Mark.
The Dolphins.
Donate. Give me a donation. Hey. The last time we challenged you, you switched – to a pick that was right, Dallas and Seattle.
That's right.
Maybe this is another time for you to do
this. This is a real Cecil right now you're having.
I'm not having a Cecil. Oh. I'm just saying I might switch. You'll have to find out.
Please just do it.
Your boy, Bill Lazor, has saved Philbin's job this year.
I think he will. As Henry Hodgson predicted, maybe Lazor will be the head coach.
Well, I think Greg has astutely pointed out that they're basically running.
Fire today, by the way.
They're running a combination of Chip Kelly's offense and the 2012 Redskins offense, and it's doing wonders for them.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for the Wednesday podcast, a special early podcast with Thanksgiving around the corner. Happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners from the States, and I guess I didn't know this was happening, but all the non-Americans who celebrate the holiday or just eat turkey on a Thursday. I don't know if that happens, but anyway, thank you for listening to the show. That's what we're thankful for. Great fans. What a great audience.
The best.
Have.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, people have been – our Twitter followers, the little jokes that we've been getting, the money tags, the Photoshop stuff.
Wes, you got someone wrote –
it's outstanding. We have the best
fans.
Someone
wrote the lyrics to Hurt Hurts.
Yes. Oh, we have a podcast fan named Max, and he had great lyrics written by Greg. What was the line about the talent show and the triangle?
Something about the talent show is so far away, I think I'll put my triangle away. Something like that.
Brilliant. I mean, Greg, and by the way, Greg, you're not getting off the hook about Delaware. We're going to get in. We might have to do a whole podcast about Greg's goth alternative band
in the 90s, report.
Delaware.
We saw some guy who was making his top five Twitter recommendations for podcasts for all the people that follows him, and number three was the Around the League podcast, Around the NFL podcast, the only sports one on the list. And he's like, his description of the podcast was, oh, it's just three regular guys laughing and talking football and a goth band singer. Like, what the?
Oh,
well,
he nailed it.
I have an update from the drummer. He contacted me. And he can't find the video, but he has stills that he can
send. All right, well, that's a good start. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
There is a Zapruder film element to this at some point. We're going to get video.
Yes. So thank you so much for listening.
Real quick, we can't give a shout-out to our fans without giving a shout-out to the main man, Tristan. You know?
Oh, sure.
Big thanks to Tristan.
The captain of the fan base.
Captain. Agreed. For sure.
All right. Good. How much did Tristan pay you for that interruption?
Don't worry about that.
You got money coming in from multiple channels. It's disturbing.
It's like the warden in Shawshank when the poor construction guy delivers the pie with the 20s underneath it. That's TD.
He goes home and polishes our Stitcher.
Hey, he's dirty. All right. That's it. So, yes, happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back on Sunday night with another recap podcast. This is Dan Hansis signing off for the Sizzler, the Mailman, the Boss, and the great TD behind the glass. Happy Thanksgiving.